This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is Dave's favorite day.
Woohoo! It's Friday.
So welcome to Newsmakers. This is the place, and Merry Christmas, by the way.
Yeah.
I've heard more people saying that than usual, and I've been saying it back, and I like the things. I love it when I just distract myself and go on a tangent to start out every show. Anyway, welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. This is your spot for local talk radio. And locally, I've been hearing more clerks at stores, more people in, I've encountered just said Merry Christmas or any sort of nice holiday greeting. It's been nice.
Yeah.
And I see some things on social media where people are like, no matter what they tell you, from Happy Hanukkah to Merry Christmas to Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Merry Kwanzaa, whatever it is, just say thank you and smile. You know,
right?
You don't have to make a big deal out of someone's good intentions.
Because we all celebrate differently, but it's all a great holiday to be thankful for.
The people that are worst about that, they're the atheists.
That's true.
It's not people who are celebrating Hanukkah. It's not people who are celebrating Kwanzaa. It's the atheists that really don't want to be shared into your horrible religious holiday.
So smile even bigger with them and say, have a great day.
God bless you.
And God bless you. Yes, say God bless you to them.
Anyway.
You know, I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, a whole week went by and I didn't even talk to you about it, that last Saturday we did the Kaiser Hall Parade of Lights,
mm-hmm.
right? Chris Link and I drove the van after decorating it, and we did a fair job.
Yeah.
Not compared to a lot of the other lights in there. Wow, there were some awesome light displays on those vehicles.
And the turnout was good.
It seemed like turnout was thousands of kids, and most of them were coming up, and you could hear them clearly off to the side, Merry Christmas.
Wow.
That's all they were yelling at us.
That is cool.
Yeah.
How fun.
It was fun.
And that's one thing that Salem lost out on, right? It used to be in Salem, and Kaiser took it. Salem
Kaiser
lost support
stole
for it.
It.
And they totally stole it, and it's a great event. I'm sure they're driving.
Well, they have a fun run before.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the Parade of Lights. It's awesome.
All right. Can we dish a little bit about this? Because this Festival of Lights Parade, it was originally the PGE Festival of Lights Parade in Salem, and it faltered, and the organization crumbled, and Kaiser grabbed it. Right?
Wow.
So now it's in Kaiser.
All right.
So that doesn't shine well on Salem. The other thing that doesn't shine well on Salem, and the mayor earlier this month got a little defensive about it, but
he did.
Where are the decorations?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. I'm sorry. You know I'm pro-Salem, folks. You know I'm pro-Salem. But it's embarrassing to drive through Independence and see every street pole, wrapped with white lights and a big candy cane or candle sticking up. Kaiser's got them up and down River Road.
Mm-hmm.
Communities near and far, small, they're managing to decorate their town for the holidays. What is up, Salem?
Right.
Calling you out.
Ouch.
Wow. The Neighborhood Association downtown, the Downtown Advisory Board, the city manager, the mayor, the city councilors that represent the area. It's embarrassing.
Should we rate them?
Capital city, folks.
Yeah.
Not decked out for the holidays. You want to call it your central business district? You want to encourage people to shop downtown, which I do.
Yeah.
I do on your behalf. I tell people to go down and shop at Macy's and Kohl's and Penny's and TJ Maxx and Scores of Specialty Shops and all of those things. Oh, Ross Dress for Less. Can't forget those. Big stores. Lots of options. You can't decorate the street for the holidays. Come on.
Where's that report card?
Come on.
F minus.
Salem. F. Wow. There was a time we didn't do any fireworks in the park as well. We didn't do any sort of 4th of July fireworks. It wasn't that long ago, actually. And now they've stepped up, which is awesome. But you can't go backwards. You can't slide backwards and go, oh, the old decorations got old and nobody replaced them.
What?
So something's going to happen.
Yeah, he did get defensive when I asked him about that.
Private sector, public sector, something. But we can't stand for this. Maybe we'll get sometime a guest host, TJ Sullivan, since his office building is downtown.
Yeah.
Maybe get him, put some pressure on some downtown powers that be, make that thing happen.
Crazy.
All right. Then there's that. All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. I want to talk a couple of things before we send you away for your last minute shopping for the weekend or going over the river and through the woods. Talk about some of the local things. Top of mind for me this week, it came out earlier this week, Chemeketa's enrollment's down.
What?
Yeah, a couple of education related items. One of them is Oregon State. One of them is how much we spend per student. And also, we'll get to touch before the hour is up on where you can eat, because not everybody wants to cook Thanksgiving dinner. Not everybody can.
You mean Christmas?
Christmas, yeah.
Whole Thanksgiving was like last month?
That too. This is why, folks, I can't have my own show, because I need Dave Bourne here to keep me from blundering.
Oh, he would be talking about things 6 months ago.
All right, Chemeketa. So it came out in the Salem Reporter last week, actually. So enrollment's down. And we just passed, Chemeketa grew and it continues to grow in its facilities and its programs, but it has the lowest enrollment in over a decade.
That's
625 fewer students versus last fall.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's what the Chemeketa is saying. Some of it they can account for because one of the programs is not there anymore and so forth, but some of it's just a mystery, which they admit it's just a mystery. However, what happens with community colleges is people who get displaced in the workplace, right?
Yeah.
Or have trouble finding a job, they prioritize, I'm going to get another certification, more education, more job training, and they go to community colleges. So when the economy is bad and unemployment is high, their enrollment will peak up.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they've got great programs there. It's amazing what a community college can do. And Chemeketa is amazing. And in terms of the nationally known programs for fire safety professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a nursing program and a lot of others that, and Chemeketa Center for Business and Industry. Of course, we'd interviewed Diane McLaren sometime this year about the Chemeketa Center of Business and Industry, which includes the Small Business Development Center, so people get entrepreneurial and they want to know how to do it, and they can learn that there. So Chemeketa has a new president just this summer. I had a new president come in, Jessica Howard. So she's new on the job.
We need to have her in.
Yeah. She admits when the economy's bad, students flood to them. And they don't have to try to go get them when the economy's bad. But now the economy's really good.
Really
and people
good.
Don't have to go get more education to get a job, right? So they're not focused on, I need this certification in IT, or I need, what have you. Or I lost my job at NORPAC, and maybe mm-hmm. I will now finally do this program that allows me to get a job in medical imaging or whatever it is, right?
Right.
So there was one program, and they did a kind of a combination with a community college under contract for a GED program with a charter school. So that got killed, and a bunch of, obviously, that's a part of the lower enrollment. But what is their title? President. The president said some of this is still a mystery. So
yeah.
I like that. Anyway, and this is a puzzle. This is something that the community college has that private industry has as well, is when do you lay things off, people off? When do you cut programs? When do you cut expenses? And do you cut them just to find an upswing in a year later? It's very hard as economies and sections are growing. So we have some friends who own architecture firms, right? Well, they're busy, busy, busy. But can you really hire three more architects and then your current projects end? And then what do you do?
Yeah. You have to have like a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm. To scale up and to scale down is very difficult. And it's for an organization the size of Chemeketa.
Good luck with
considered. That. So they raised tuition. And they laid off staff when enrollments fall. That's kind of what they have to do to make ends meet. And they're doing things to account for this and also to try to train people for high-demand jobs, right, which that drives enrollment growth and this and that. There's one that's mentioned in the article, and this is Salem Reporter again from last week. anesthesiology technician. It's one of those samples examples where the community college reached out and said, what's missing in the job training program? What is the medical economic sector need? Oh, we could really use this. You know, I don't think they do pharmacy tech, but I know they do in some colleges, another in-demand program. So diesel technicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned a few times about we could use in the Mid-Valley a program for aviation technicians.
Yes.
You know, mechanics and technicians and so forth. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and talk about there's so many other things. Then holiday related as well. We want to talk about where you could eat. And there's a very special birthday or anniversary coming up at a very special place in Salem. And I'll tell you about it right after this on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We were talking before the break about Chemeketa and how the community college is seeing the lowest number of students enrolled in the fall term than they've seen in a decade. And the funny thing is that their problems are due to having no problems in the economy.
Weird.
Right? To having stability. There's no radical changes. There's no market upheaval that causing people to have to change jobs for which they need additional education. Right?
Right.
So good news, bad news. Chemeketa is trying to adjust in terms of how do you make the budget match, right?
Yeah.
When you have fewer students paying tuition.
Imagine that, though. They're actually adjusting their facility to make money, unlike the government.
Yeah, well, there are the government in a sense.
Right, but
you know
I mean,
what I mean? Yeah.
But they're making adjustments, unlike our government.
Oh. You mean like the state legislature that just wants, we'll just raise more taxes?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, well, we should just raise more taxes.
No, you should cut more.
We have enough money, but we should still just raise more taxes.
Yeah, then there's that. That's like the craziest thing I've ever heard.
So, again, we're going to give her a little exposure. Jessica Howard, not well known, not a lot of exposure just yet because she's been on the job maybe not even six months. Jessica Howard, Chemeketa's president. So hopefully you can get her on the show. And the nice thing is, you know, they're trying to make adjustments, which is difficult in the programming. And her last quote in the article in the Salem Reporters, we may not see gains immediately, and we may not see the gains immediately as far as the adjustments and improvements that they're making, but it comes over 2 or 3 years. We'll see the fruits of the labor. And that's so true. Sometimes in society, we just want instant.
Yeah,
it's like
instant changes.
As soon as a president takes the oath of office, suddenly the economy is all his fault.
Yeah.
Or all his, you know, or his doing or something. It's crazy. I've happened to think that a lot of presidents spend the whole presidency with the economy the previous president left them.
That's true.
Right?
That can happen.
Anyway, also in education, a couple other things. Real quick, I saw an article. It was sent to me by our own Warren Franklin. And he was telling us the article had to do with how much spending we do per student. Now, this is not community college, but it's in
K through 12.
K through 12, right? Okay. Thank you. I struggled with that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Acronyms.
Yeah. And that Oregon is a little bit below the average in America, which surprised me. Total spending per student, $11,264. Right?
That's low?
The average, well, it's not average, but the total spending per student in America is $12,200. So a little bit less.
Who raised it?
So
what state raised that? I want to know. Because we used to be really spending too much money on each student. Now we're under the average? How did that happen?
Well, this is an incredible span, but some states are spending $7,179 per year per student.
Yeah, and their grades are better.
Some of them are spending $23,000 per student.
They're throwing too much money at it.
On child education. We ranked 29th.
What state's spending $23,000 on a student?
Didn't say. I think what's important in the story, and what the story's missing is where will we be when we start sending $1 billion a year more? Because this doesn't take that into effect.
Oh.
Right? So with the Student Success Act, Student Success Act, also known as the Corporate Activities Tax. Right. That's another $1 billion. And I didn't do the math, folks. I always tell you to do the math. But that'll be interesting. They're certainly going to catapult us in the top half in the nation and how
that'll
much money us, we're spending.
Yeah, that'll make it over $25,000 for a student. That's outrageous.
I don't know that it'll jump that because I don't have the number for how many students there are.
Well, if we're bringing in $1 billion more.
Dollars divided by the students. So I don't know. Didn't do the math, folks, so I'm about to apologize.
I know that all that money is not going just to the students, though.
I'm glad you teed that up for me, Dave Bourne. Instructional spending
mm-hmm.
is broken out. And these things are dubious. And when you get these articles and rankings, trust me, you take them with a little bit of a grain of salt because I know statistics.
Truckload, you mean.
Yeah. And because not all states keep the records the same way, right? So anyway, instructional spending per student is broken out in this survey. And there we're below. $7,400 in the national scene, or $6,568. So of the 11,000 that we're spending per student, $6,500 is going to instructional spending. And then there's support staff. Average teacher salary in Oregon is $61,000, just a little bit higher than the national average, or the national total, I should say. And then there's the graduation rate. You know, ours is about 77%. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of embarrassing. Graduation rate nationwide, anyone want to guess?
75.
80, almost 85. 84.6.
Oh.
Way behind the nation. But we're spending, you know, the teachers are above average compensated, and we're spending $11,264. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Where we rank and how much we're spending, and I can't wait to see the numbers a year or so from now when it adds $1 billion a year to and how much of that billion is going to instructional spending versus total spending.
Be interesting to see how many businesses also move out of the state.
Yeah, well, what happens if we have lower economic
activity
that's taxed?
Unemployment.
We're just going to have to raise more taxes.
See, I don't understand that logic. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, you're right about that. That's right. Once we tax people out of the state, maybe the answer won't be to tax more people out of the state.
Because they did that a few years ago.
It happens constantly.
There was some kind of corporate tax. Businesses just ran from the state.
Measure 66. 67 was the largest tax increase in Oregon's history at the time.
What year was that?
It was just as Obama was taking office. So
2009,
right in the depths of the recession.
A recession, yeah. Okay, well, that was when that really happened. People left the state.
I think it was
took their businesses elsewhere.
Passed by the legislature in 2009, referred to the voters in 2010.
I remember voting on it.
Yep, and I was the chief petitioner.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
Realize I was the chief petitioner to
refer
Measure 66 and 67 to the ballot, which the voters affirmed, actually. And in the depths of the worst recession in the nation's history, we passed the largest tax increase in Oregon history. It's really quite charming. But we do know that a lot of businesses just said, I'm not going to grow. I know a very, very large company that has a large footprint in 5 Western states said, all of our new investments will not be in Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah, and the policymakers don't think that it happens, but it absolutely happens.
Absolutely.
So I got a little inside knowledge there. I said, we're going to do X number of new locations, new investment, new jobs, new taxes, not in Oregon. We're going to look at Idaho, Utah, right, Nevada.
Wow.
And so forth. So it definitely affected it. It definitely affected. And all the lies they told that nobody who makes under $250,000 will be affected. And I
remember that.
Firsthand know that to be an absolute falsehood.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There was another thing, too, that came out this last week. New Seasons was sold. Do you know that? No? Okay. New Seasons Market was sold to an out-of-country investor. I think it was out of South Korea or something like that. And they immediately announced that they were not going to expand anymore.
Hmm.
Because they had huge expansion plans for Portland and going out of that market, out of Portland. So now I could easily see them becoming not what they are now, new seasons market, becoming it's like a 7-Eleven almost.
Yeah.
Because that's what the company is that bought them. And I could see them closing down several locations.
Or rebranding them, right?
Yeah.
So they bought them for their existing locations, but...
Probably, yeah. And to rebrand them, and some of them will probably close instead of expand.
One last story having to do with education, folks, because we're going to get some holiday weekend stuff. LSU president, the president of Louisiana State University, lured away by the Beavers.
What?
Oregon State lured away the president of Louisiana State, LSU, to be the new president of Oregon State University, who has their president's retiring after like 17 years. I thought this was interesting. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because that's a pretty good gig. Maybe it's because Oregon is so much better than Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe he has, I don't know. I don't know why. And he wasn't looking for the job. He's been there a little over 6 years at Louisiana State. LSU. So I have a question about F. King Alexander. F. King Alexander. Mr. Alexander has been at LSU. And here's the thing about LSU. They have 50,000 students, as opposed to Oregon State has like 32,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got 4 university campuses, a law school, and 2 medical schools in New Orleans and Shreveport. So he's making $660,000 a year in Louisiana. Oregon State said, hey, why don't you come to our smaller school without a med school and without a law school and so forth, and we'll pay you $630,000. So he's taking a job cut to go to a smaller university, which arguably is less prestigious.
Easier.
Maybe easier. Maybe better quality of life.
Better quality.
Yeah.
Well, less stress.
Less stress. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't relocate to Louisiana. Nothing wrong with that. But I'd love to visit it.
How long was he there?
Maybe it's the climate. He doesn't want. He's over this over 6 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, there'll be a new president. He's done there on December 31st, and he's going to be a faculty member. And I think the transition will happen next spring. So, Ed Ray, good luck to you. He is retiring from Oregon State presidency at the end of June. He's been there 17 years.
Wow.
So, great things took over. I mean, Mr. Alexander, he took over, and they were getting a lot of budget cuts from the legislature. They're having enrollments fall and things like that. It was kind of a challenge, and he has a good track record there. So, apparently, his reputation spread. And Oregon State said, well, we need to replace our existing president who's retiring, and started looking around at people with great you know, these things typically, there just must be an inside knowledge inside that world.
Yeah, inside baseball.
Higher education conferences or something. But
you look for somebody who everyone can get along with and likes.
Well, that's a good question. Usually people who get things done, they're going to make some enemies along the way. Or maybe
depends.
They don't like it. Not always, but a lot.
That depends on how you do it.
Yeah, like Trump?
Right.
Like ruffling feathers. However, so...
He's a little rough.
At LSU, he was a vocal proponent of funding more. I like it.
Yeah.
Funding more. All right, we have to take a break. I just want to make one more point about that when we come back. What happened at LSU? Why did he seem like a good grab? So we're going to have a new president right down the road at Oregon State. Stick with us. This is Newsmakers. My name is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. We're talking about education a little bit, but we're going to transition and talk about some things to do for the holiday. We're going to wrap up talking about the new president of Oregon State University coming in. Ed Ray's retiring. We are going to have F. King Alexander coming in next year, be a member of the faculty, and then join Oregon State as president next year. And I was saying he was a vocal proponent for financing the campuses, fought for higher education funding. And we could use a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
We could use a little bit of a legislative.
OSU can help.
challenge the governor and the legislature to fund higher ed in addition to K through 12. And so during the time he's there, the legislature has stopped the cuts in higher ed, and they boosted higher education spending.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a pretty good gig. $630,000 is pretty good quality of life in Oregon.
Yeah, of course, I could use that.
Other perks, you know, you've got a car allowance and retirement pay and things like that. And, oh, he gets to university residence, gets to live there on campus. So Go Beavs, looks like it's a good hire.
Yeah.
They recruited him over, so maybe it was a personal relationship or whatever it is, but it looks like it's a good hire. All right, another thing I want to talk about, let's get out of education here. We're going to talk about where you can eat Christmas week, Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day if you need to order food, because not everybody has a big kitchen. Not everybody has family visiting.
That's true.
So what restaurants are open? And this weekend, of course, big, big birthday for Gilbert House Museum. There's an event. Before we get to that, there's a road improvement thing I want to talk about. We're talking about these local things that happen, and this intersects with so many themes in Newsmakers. So Marion County is going to spend, or it's going to work on a project, $7 million.
Ouch.
$7 million to road improvements at Hayesville Road. Here's the thing about Hayesville, is it intersects with Cordon Road and Lancaster, I think Portland Road, and it is a little neglected. It's quite a bit neglected.
Mm-hmm.
I know Adam Stevens Middle School winds through there, and I think there are also paths to three other schools, and some of them don't have sidewalks.
What?
So the road is seen as having been neglected. Pretty big project, right? So one of the things about the $7 million that got me in the middle of the article, in the bowels of the article, is most of it is federal money. It's one of those things where it's a matching number. And there used to be a program, a Safe Routes to Schools program for road. I don't know if they qualified for that or what have you. But, yeah, of the $7 million, I think just under $1 million is coming from Marion County. And they're spending it through their, you know, gasoline tax revenue and so forth. So Cordon Road, there's going to be a new left-hand turn lane at Cordon Road in Hayesville. And that's actually not very far from the middle school. That's pretty far north. It's north of Silverton Road.
Wow.
Yeah, it's out there. It's on, you know, the border is in and out of North Salem. Another reason why I wanted to bring it up. The number is huge. The need is there. And it's federal money. So much of that's what they call leveraging. That's when a local government says, hey, City of Salem's trying to do the same thing with McGillcrest. And we've talked to Peter Fernandez, the City of Salem Public Works Director, about that project and how they try to leverage money they can get from other sources, grants from transportation, from the federal dollars. So way to go. It's an expensive project to be undertaken by Marion County.
How many miles?
Oh, goodness. You know, it starts and stops. I don't know how many miles exactly. $6.1 million in federal.
Okay.
And just under $1 million in county money. Oh, I said gas tax, but a lot of that's coming from system development charges. So many things that intersect with our topics here at Newsmakers. So that is a charge that developers have to pay when they build something new.
Right.
So to pay for the cost of growth, they have to pay transportation system development charges.
That's water, sewer, and streets.
It depends.
And sidewalks, usually.
They're all allocated by...
And the street lighting.
The system development charges are authorized by the legislature for parks, for transportation, for water and sewer, I think. And I don't know what else.
Well, like when a new development goes in, they've got to put in the infrastructure.
Yes.
So that's the system development charges that they get charged for.
No.
No?
Oh, they have to do both. So a new development comes in. Let's say you're building, Dave Warren's building a subdivision. You have to put in all the roads yourself. You have to put in the water lines, sewer, yourself, the sewer lines, the storm drains.
Electrical?
Everything.
Cable?
You have to do it.
Wow.
Put in all of that infrastructure. And then you have to pay for the additional costs on the overall system for the growth. Because maybe your subdivision is 100% paid for by you. A lot of people don't realize that. City doesn't ever put in a new road. Somebody else pays for that. The developer pays for it. And everything that goes under the road. On top of that, though, maybe you built 50 new houses in a subdivision. Well, that's going to impact this street sign down here 14 blocks away or 4 blocks away. And so that might need to be upgraded to add a turn lane or to add a stoplight. That's the kind of growth impact that the system development charges are designed to pay for. So if people have built in the northeast part of Salem and Marion County, then they paid system development charges and the county collects them and puts them into projects, right? So the same way you would have paid as you're the developer, you would have paid a chunk of money to pay for the need in that area for additional park space. It goes to the city, and it's a whole formula. It's a whole other show. We'll talk about another in the show.
No wonder houses are so expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's more than $10,000. I think it's approaching $20,000 in the city limits. How many system development charges?
For each house?
Yep, per house.
Ouch.
All right. What's cool about it? All right. So it's getting done, which is nice. It comes in and out of the city, Salem. Another one of those border things where people, when it comes to... the residential, for all appearances, you're a Salemite, but you don't really live in the city. And so the standards, the road standards in the county are lower than the road standards for the city.
Right.
So you may not have a curb and a gutter and a storm drain and a sidewalk over the years. And so these standards got built in county land and they were not uniform and over the years and how they were built. And now county's going to make a huge investment and fortunately got a bunch of federal money as well. Still our tax money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Still our money.
But it's not our property tax money going into Marion County, it's, except for the $1
million. True.
So that's how they leverage and they'll have safer routes to the schools there in those intersections. I mean, up there, folks, when you see Roth's up there in Portland Road, then a McDonald's, it's like they might be in the city limits, but then across the street is not in the city limits.
Yeah.
And it gets problematic, and it's hard to have a coordinated standard for all of these things, right? So
when's that supposed to start?
It's going to take a couple of years. So I think 22, they're doing the process of getting right away because sometimes they're going to have to buy the edges of the road right away, and then they're going to do that for another couple of years and then build in 2022 and 23.
Hmm.
And I think, yeah, PGE is going to cooperate with them and collaborate, and they're going to install streetlights along the separate areas of the projects.
Because that's good.
A lot of times in the county land, they're not required to put in streetlights. So, all right, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to talk about holidays and finish out our Friday before Christmas. So stick with us, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to be right back, and you don't want to miss it on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It's a great day. It's a Friday before Christmas. I almost said Thanksgiving again. Got to do a little bit
holiday
more
mode.
Shopping myself. A little bit sleep deprived or something. Great event happening this weekend at the Gilbert House. Very, very fond memories of my kids being younger than they are now and visiting the Gilbert House. And some options to where you eat. I know when my folks were getting older here in the community, sometimes it was just, you know, maybe for one of these holidays, if there's not a lot of family around, we'll just go out. And mm-hmm. there's a lot more options than I thought there would be.
Really?
So what do you do for Christmas?
Well,
are you going to cook?
Yes, we normally cook because daughter comes back from her house. She cooks for Thanksgiving. She comes to our house for Christmas, usually for almost 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice to spend time with her and the family. So we have our Christmas dinner that we make, which is usually ham. And then we go and celebrate Christmas like the day after with other family members mm-hmm. at their house.
Yeah.
They have a little Christmas party. So we have several Christmas parties that we go to.
You get more than a twofer, it sounds like.
Yeah. So it's good.
That is fun.
Good times.
I like to cook, and I like to do the turkey thing, and then when the and it's a strange personality quirk, but when it comes to things around the house, I like doing the dishes. So
really,
I like to clean up afterwards, and people, you know, I'm like a little help, but you know, but I like to get everything all clean and everything, and then I'll take the turkey and I'll bust it up into pieces and I'll make soup.
Nice.
So I'll get some vegetables ahead of time and just right after
fresh
Christmas,
or frozen.
Fresh.
Put
fresh.
You on the spot.
Yeah, that came up earlier this week. Fresh. You know, onions and carrots and celery and herbs and things like that. And
that sounds really good.
Yeah. And then right after Christmas dinner, I'll turn around and I'll start cooking for the days following Christmas. And I'll leave that with my mother-in-law and things like that and make a turkey soup. So
that's how you get in good with the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a funny story about that, Dave Warren.
I can't wait to hear it.
Well, you've met here in studio our early childhood education expert, Miss Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say when I came along, I looked pretty good compared to Miss Linda's previous boyfriends. So I was in with the in-laws right away.
Oh, well, that's lucky you.
This is a better catch right here. all right. Mary and Joy. Hey, just quick wrap up. You asked me this question. I caught it during the break. The Hayesville road improvements over 2 miles long, but 2 miles, $7 million going into two
Yikes,
miles.
Yikes, that's an
right?
expensive
that's
road.
Totally different perspective there, 2 miles, but some critical sections of that. And of course, the problematic thing when you're inside the urban growth boundary, folks, and you don't annex into the city limits,
yes.
You have different variations. And that was kind of a point just before the break I was trying to make. You have the different standards, different jurisdictions, like is it Public Works Marin County, Public Works City of Salem, people in across the street, next door. It's just, I don't know. I think it works better in planning when it's all one jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. All right. Gilbert House, the Children's Museum, right there at Riverfront Park, got moved there. It's 30 years old. Didn't even used to be there. It was moved there, and then we had the huge community build, and it was very exciting, and it's a great I mean, I've gone to, when I was traveling with kids, I've gone to communities where, I'll go to the kids' museum. And it happens here as well. It is a nice facility, and there's a big birthday party. So
nice.
We want you to know it's the 21st.
It's tomorrow.
Saturday, the 21st, you can go to Gilbert House. And maybe you can, hey, if you're a family, maybe you can put one parent, take the kids to the birthday party while the other one zips over to the mall. And does the Santa thing.
Oh, nice.
Right? You can divide and conquer, as it were.
Yeah.
So it's just coming up tomorrow. There's a lot of cool things changing at the Gilbert House coming up. And I always wondered how they were doing because my kids got of a certain age. You know, your kids get in high school. They don't want a Gilbert House anymore.
No.
But they're going to swap and transform the discovery area outside into the inventor's yard. They just announced that about a year ago. And so some of the things that they expected to have a lifespan of 20 years are about 21 years old. So their outdoor playscape is going to get replaced and so forth. I was very happy to hear that attendance is up.
Good.
I mean, they've been growing, increasing amount of visitors annually. They're reaching different demographics, some people in the community that had not been exposed and been had the pleasure of going.
I've been there once.
Yeah. Oh, you've been there?
Yeah.
That is cool.
But not as a kid.
I liked going. The bubble room, it got damaged because of a flood.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I used to go into the bubble room.
Wow.
And it's been down, but they're going to create another experience, another bubble experience. Increased amount of visitors annually and reaching different demographics.
Good.
That is cool.
Good for
you
them.
Have the outreach to different things. So tomorrow, folks, Saturday, December 21st, 10 to 5, Gilbert House. You can there's parking lot right there. There's parking lot by Riverfront Park. Go down and check out the Gilbert House. If you have never been there and your kids are driving you crazy because they're out of school and their Santa's coming and they're bouncing off the walls, head on down to the Gilbert House. That's
and
cool.
As a parent, he knows all about that.
Been there, done that. Bill's Bubble Factory is going to be the exhibit that's going to replace
what used to be. Actually.
Yeah, five different ways to play with bubbles set to be completed by May of 2020.
Five different ways?
Yeah.
Oh, I only thought there was a couple.
I think they'll let grownups. Well, I don't know if they still do. I hope they do. But it used to be if you were a member of Gilbert House, you also got cross membership in OMSI.
Ooh.
And vice versa. So
that's a check into that.
Yeah, you can get into membership and so forth. All right, one last thing here before the holiday weekend is where are you going to eat next week? Some people want to go out to a restaurant. We want to thank the Statesman Journal for covering this. It was nice and nice promotion of the local eateries that are going to stay open. A large number of them are Chinese or otherwise Asian food restaurants.
That don't celebrate Christmas.
And I know, yeah, and I know people that their tradition is to have Chinese food on some of these holidays.
No, sometimes that is the best.
Yeah.
I've done that a couple of years.
All right. Again, credit to Statesman Journal where credit is due. Adam's Rib, friend of the program.
Yeah.
They're not going to be open for Christmas, but you can pre-order double smoked hams and smoked turkeys. Oh, I hope you've done it already. I don't know. It's already the
20th. Could be too late.
Right?
Or today's the deadline.
So, place an order today. Place the order today.
That's what I thought.
Friday.
Today's the last day.
And you can pick it up on Christmas Eve.
Oh, there you go.
So Friday, hey, call Adam's Rib, tell him you want a double smoked ham, you want a smoked turkey, and you can pick it up on Christmas Eve. Pretty
awesome.
There you go. Busick Court, it's one of my favorite places for breakfast. Please tell everybody. I love it. Well, so it doesn't too crowded, but wow. They've got an omelet there that's literally called my favorite omelet. And so I go in and I just, hey, could I have my favorite omelet? They didn't name it after me, but that's
how you do it.
That's good title for that one.
That is a great title.
Busick is open 6:30 in the morning, 2 p.m. It's open Christmas Day, 8 to 2.
What?
So you can go for breakfast, brunch, a lunch, something like that. They do close at 2. Let me just list all of the Chinese places. Let's see. We've got Canton Garden. It's over on Market Street. They're open Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It looks like a regular hours, 11:30 to 10. Chen's Family Dish. They're on Lancaster. Chin's Restaurant on Commercial. That's in South Commercial. Of course, Denny's. You can't go wrong with Denny's.
Denny's is always a good option.
It's not a fancy Christmas dinner or anything, but Denny's, they don't close. When was the last time you saw Denny's with a close sign on it?
That's true. You know, we actually went to a Denny's for dinner because our Christmas dinner got ruined.
I once had a Thanksgiving dinner at a Waffle House.
See? See?
Golden Dragon Restaurant is open Christmas Day, 11 to 1. Also on Commercial Southeast, the Half Penny. Half Penny is, they're going to be open. Oh, this is terrible. Open 2 p.m. to close. Menu includes prime rib. It's going to be limited, but includes prime rib. So check them. I'm not sure if that refers to Thanksgiving. Christmas Eve or Christmas. Happy Jing on Portland Road. Hong Kong House on Commercial Street. Lucky Garden on Ricky Street Southeast. Lucky Fortune on Lancaster Drive. Marco Polo right downtown. Marco Polo's got a nice menu. Christmas Buffet. Christmas Buffet,
nice.
11 to 5 at Marco Polo downtown, and the Kitchen on Court Street. Funky little place right downtown, known for its long hours. Christmas Eve, open till 2 p.m.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, we got to go?
We got to go.
That was it. I'm at the end of the line.
Nice.
Christmas Day for the Kitchen on Court as well. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Prepare for the holiday, and we will talk to you Monday on Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.